Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is another entry in the series of Fathers and Sons with a guy I love, Aaron Singerman. He's going to be with us in just a second. Before we do that, I have to thank our title sponsor, Legendary Foods, eatlegendary.com. Use the code SHR10 to save 10% off and let them know that you learned about their products here. Don't forget to try the new Tasty Pastry. I remember when Aaron was getting ready for a competition, one of his favorite cheats was Pop-Tarts. Well, Tasty Pastry is basically a Pop-Tart with 9 grams to 15 grams of high leucine, high quality protein, less than 1 gram of sugar. The new one, which is their Hot Fudge Sundae, has zero sugar, 15 grams of protein, and it tastes better than a real Pop-Tart. So you'll love them. Your kids will love them. Check them out. Go to eatlegendary.com and use the code SHR10 to save 10% off. And without further delay, there we go. A guy who needs no introduction, and that's Aaron Singerman. How you doing, Aaron?
Good, Carl. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. You know, the truth of the matter is, you and I actually did the pilot of today's show. I had this idea about raising boys. And remember, last year, you and I did a show where we talked about raising boys. But I want to come back now and do this again, now that you've had a little bit more time under your belt. With your boys, and they're beautiful, beautiful children, and they're kind and they're sweet. But I want to know more. I have a better array of questions than I did when I had you on first. Do we have any announcements to make? You got a lot going on, a lot of exciting stuff going on at RedCon 1 right now, don't you?
Yeah, we always, honestly, Carl, there's always more news and there's always more stuff going on. So yeah, there's, you know, we have a lot of things coming. The big protein RTD ready to drink comes out next month, in the beginning of next month. Actually, maybe in time for Cyber Monday, we may have a surprise for people. But that's our biggest bet coming up. Obviously, Black Friday is always a huge deal. Every time we have this time of the year, it's my favorite day. It's like the Christmas, Hanukkah, my birthday all rolled into one for Black Friday. So we have a lot of stuff coming out for Black Friday. So a lot of big announcements leading up to and during that period of time.
And I see that you now have a mineral blend. I mean, there's a lot of people out there with mineral blends. RedCon has a mineral blend now, right?
Yes, Canteen. So it's a hydration mineral blend, yeah. Product that really would be good for anybody. And then I put my drinks in hydration, is obviously, as you know, probably better than almost anybody, Carl, being a lack of hydration or being dehydrated is a huge deal that can affect everything from your mental clarity to physical performance.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Drinking water isn't enough. If you're not adding minerals with the water, you're not going to be hydrated. So that's a very, very good point. So I know that we're kind of on an anniversary of your father, Jerry, passing recently, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we October 31st. Yeah.
Okay. And so, the first question I want to ask you is, who influenced you the most as a young boy? This could be a couple people, but when you think back, I mean, you may even want to tell the story about the Rolex and Grandpa Jack, too. But who influenced you the most when you were a young boy?
You know, I think back to that, and I'm honestly not sure. You know, in one regard, I would say Arnold Schwarzenegger. Obviously, I got into bodybuilding and fitness, physical culture very, very young. At 13 years old, I was going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week. So I remember watching with my dad and watching Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. And he does like this with his arm. You know, he tells him to stop.
Yeah.
You see his arm. And I remember thinking that was so cool. And my dad always thought that movie was cool. So I want to say that my dad, but I also say that I was such a lost, bad child for most of my childhood and into my young adult years. I think I was very hard to be influenced, period. I was probably more influenced by, you know, being around the wrong people and making my own bad decisions. So it's hard to say who I was influenced. Obviously, looking back, thinking of it now, my father stands out to me, but I'm so different than my father. We're almost polar opposites in a lot of ways. So, you know, maybe I was influenced in a way to be different than instead right. of replicate the same thing. So that's the Papa Jack story is a good one because my Papa Jack was a dentist. He's still alive. He's 92 years old, lives in New Orleans now. And he was a successful dentist and made good money owning his own practice. And he had a gold Rolex that he bought for himself, his 25th anniversary of his practice. And as a kid, I always was fascinated with his watches, in particular that one gold Rolex. I always thought in my mind that maybe, because I made so many comments about how much I liked it as a kid, that when he passed away, maybe he would leave me the gold Rolex, because I figured that there was no way that I would ever be able to afford a watch like that myself. And obviously, funny, interestingly enough, I'm wearing a gold Rolex. Interesting you brought that story up, but it was something that as a kid, I didn't have the kind of aspirations that I do now or that I built over time. I just didn't even think that kind of thing was possible. Keep in mind, my grandfather, who was a dentist, was probably the wealthiest person that I knew personally. And in the scheme of things, compared to, you know, the people that I'm around today, I would say that he would be, you know, upper middle class, basically, you know, or maybe lower upper class. But in New Orleans and the people that I was surrounded with growing up, I wasn't around any kind of wealth at all. I wasn't brought up poor by any means, but I just wasn't around stuff like that.
Affluence. You know? You weren't around affluence. You're right. Exactly.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Now you have another granddad. Wasn't he, didn't he own a factory or something like that? And he employed a lot of your family.
Yeah. Charlie Singerman. He worked with his brothers. He had three brothers and they owned retail locations in New Orleans. He owned a women's clothing store and like personal men's clothing store called Country Fair that my dad worked at. And I worked at as a kid. The Great American Cookie Company franchise he helped start. And at one point they had dozens of these. That's the big cookie cakes. They owned a jewelry store and they owned a kind of like a Rite Aid or CVS at the time. And one by one, they lost those businesses because it got taken over by Rite Aids and CVS's and Mirror's jewelry store at the mall and everything. And so when my dad was given the business, my grandfather's brothers passed away. And when my grandfather passed away, he left the remaining businesses to my dad, and eventually the men's clothing store Country Fair got the prices at the mall went up, and Banana Republic took over the men's clothing store, and then the Hurricane Katrina took away the final Great American Cookie Companies. So yeah, that, you know, it's funny though, you know, Carl, Grandpa Charlie definitely without question had more money or made more money than Papa Jack, but Grandpa Charlie was so cheap that he would never buy himself a Rolex. I mean, this is a guy that when we took us out for family dinners, we would go to Shoney's because the salad bar was unlimited.
Right. You know? Have whatever you want as long as it's on the salad bar.
Yeah, 100%. Have as much salad bar you want.
But, you know, I got to believe that Grandpa Charlie probably influenced you from a business standpoint. Owning all these businesses at least put it in the realm of possibility for you.
Seeing it. Seeing that and going to the store. So at 13 years old, I started working for my dad at a Country Fair. And I would fold the clothes for them for the, you know, when clothes would come in, they obviously not come in folded, and I'd fold them up and get them ready to put on the shelves. And then when I was a little older, like 14, 15, I was a salesperson at the store selling Gerbeau jeans, Polo, Chaps, Ralph Lauren, Z Cavaricci and stuff like that. And it was a good experience for me. And to see that my dad was the boss was definitely cool.
Right.
And that was, it was influential for sure in the sense that it did show what was possible. And my grandfather owning all these stores, going up to the Great American Cookie Company as a teenager and being able to get me and my friends double doozers for free felt like a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely. So now let's stay in this realm, but let's shift the focus for a second. There are people that you met in your life that you must have thought, and it could have been the friends, fathers of friends, that you thought to yourself, these are the kind of things I want to do. This is the kind of person I want to be when I'm a dad. Who would those people be?
You know, thinking back, there's not, as a kid, I really didn't see anything like that. The dads that I thought were cool were probably among the least cool. You know, the dads that would drive their car super fast or let their kids drink or do drugs and have parties at their house, or the dads that encourage the kids to bang as many chicks as they can, or like, you know, at the time, I thought those were the cool dads. Like, oh, it's so cool. His dad lets him, you know, drive his car when he doesn't have a license. He lets him take out the car. You know, that's awesome. In reality, that's a shitty dad who is basically a liability to the son. You know? But I thought that was cool. I remember that we went on a road trip, and my friend's dad drove his Mercedes at 120 miles an hour for us on the highway. And I thought he was the coolest guy ever. But in reality, he's a moron. You know what I mean? He's driving this car ridiculously fast to impress these children. You know, not such a smart decision in retrospect. So as I've gotten older, I've met and talked to and read books on parenting and met some really excellent fathers. And the way you can tell they're excellent fathers is because the children are excellent.
Right.
So the product is how you can tell, because you don't really know. Somebody can say this, the other thing. These are the things they do. But if their kids are terrible, it doesn't matter. And, you know, not to get into politics, Carl, but one of the things that, you know, our president, Donald Trump, one of the things that nobody can say. You could say all the things you want about the guy and his politics. I personally have met and know his children, and his children are unbelievable. They're fantastic people. They act with respect to everybody.
Right.
They're not spoiled brats. You know, I had the opportunity to hang out with Eric for a while relatively recently, and he told us about how much a disciplinarian his mother was, and how all of the kids that he went to school with at some of these very elite prep schools, majority of them were bad kids or have turned into bad, non-productive adults because they were able to walk all over their parents. So they had multiple nannies and they were given all this privilege. And that's real easy to do. You know, if you have $1 billion, it's super easy to get your kids anything they want and then get as much help as you could possibly get, so you don't have to do anything with them. The true test is, what did the kids come out like? So I look at his kids and I'm just amazed. And so to me, that's inspirational, because the product, what the kids came out so good in every possible way, regardless of if you like the politics or not. Those kids are unbelievable.
Interestingly enough, you just got paid an amazing compliment, because we're talking about who influenced you. And Sean Lacoste just said mine would be Aaron Singerman to the question, you know, who contributed to the most to what you think a good father is. So that was a pretty good live. Thank you very much, Sean, for saying that. So let's go on to the next question here. And that is, do you think discipline is different for boys versus girls? You know, discipline is a lightning rod today. When I was raising children, you had to give them time out and listen to what they thought, and no one was spanking anybody anymore, like I got spanked when I was a kid. Do you think the boys have to be disciplined differently than girls? And I know you don't have girls, but I have a feeling you have an opinion about how to discipline boys.
Sure. Well, I would love to have a girl. That's Dariel.
Yeah, Dariel. I don't think Dariel's trying anymore. Huh?
She's not as cool on as me, as I am, but I would love to have a girl, but I don't. You know, I have three little boys. And I am very traditional, so I have no problem with corporal punishment. I don't beat them. I would never hit them, like, for real. But will I strike them? Absolutely. I hope that I never have to, but I have had to. And it's made a very, very big impact on them, because I do it so infrequently. The one example, and I may have given you this example on the show before, Carl, I don't remember or not, but for Asher, I've only really actually hit Asher one time really ever. The time was when he, this was a few years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago now. So 3 or 4 years ago, he told me that he was going outside to play, and this was at night. And I said, I don't think you're supposed to go outside right now, man. It's nighttime. You need to get ready for bed. And he said, no, mommy told me that it's okay. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he went outside and she came in. She said, why'd you let him go outside to play? And I was like, well, he told me you said it was okay. And she goes, I did not tell him it was okay. So I had him come in and I said, all right, Asher, so you lied. You know, you told me that mom said it. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, now put your hand out. I'm going to hit it. And he was like, what? I was like, put your hand out now in front of me. I'm going to hit it. And he put his hand out like that, you know, and I went like that. Right. And you would have thought I had slapped him in the face or something. So I hit his hand and he cried hysterically like I had beat him. And then, you know, of course, you know how kids are. And 2 or 3 minutes, he shook it off, went to bed. And to this day, he remembers that and tells his other kids, other boys, don't lie. Don't lie. This is what happened to me when I lied. And he recalls it vividly. It made such a big difference. And the reason I did it exactly like that is because I wanted to make sure he knew that I was going to hit him first. I knew what he did was wrong. And I let him know, this is what's going to happen to you now. And I made him put his hand out and think about it. And I did it. And it was very calculated. It wasn't a reaction out of emotion. I wasn't angry when I did it. I was sad to have to do it. But because I did it that way, he will remember that for the rest of his life. And I think that that's really the thing, is when you're disciplining your children, you cannot be acting out of anger or emotion. That's the way you do something you'll regret. If I'm angry, like if they're pissing me off and it happens, you better believe I'm not touching them. Because that's a reaction of my feelings versus being calculated and saying, okay, this is what they did. This is how I'm going to respond and make sure that I'm doing it out of a calculated decision.
Do you think in retrospect, had your parents handled you the way you handle your children, you would have turned out differently early on? I mean, obviously, no one can debate that you're a wonderful human being. You're generous. You're highly intelligent. When I first met you, you got me to start reading fiction again. Like you are a voracious reader. Yeah. But do you think that any of these things that we're talking about today and that we're going to continue to talk about, had they been employed by our generation of our parents, which were older generation, that you would have had a different outcome early on?
I think 100% yes. I think the things that I'm doing with my sons, almost nobody does the things that I'm doing with my kids then. And I think almost nobody does it now, to be honest with you, probably very few. But back then, no. And honestly, I couldn't even expect, my mom and dad didn't have that in them. They were kind of figuring it out as they went along. And also my parents did not grow up. They were not hip. they were, you know, great. Both my mom and dad were great people, great parents, but they weren't progressive in terms of their thinking on raising children. They were, you know, they were doing things the way that they were told to do it. And or that somebody said it, or their mom, my grandmother told my mom or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the truth is also, Carl, if they would have did how I'm, you know, raising my sons, for me, I might be in a far worse situation now, which sounds crazy to imagine, but you know, I'm in a very fortunate position. So it's very hard for me to say I would change anything. You know, I've had a lot of bad events, as you know, happen in my life, a lot of tragedies, also a lot of great things, but I wouldn't change. I wouldn't take away any of those bad things because it led me to where I'm at now. And I would never want to change one thing from where I'm at now. So, I wouldn't want, if I could go back, I wouldn't want my mom or my dad to have these kind of conversations with me because I've led such an unusual path here. I wouldn't want to mess with that at all. That all being right. said, I think parents these days definitely, I think both generations, Carl, I think right now you have people raising a lot of very soft children. That are going to be end up being very soft.
I'm sure there are people who, if they heard this interview and they heard that you smacked Asher's hand that way, they would think that's the worst thing in the world you can do. It damages self-esteem. So you're right. There's this. It's all part of the political correctness overflow. Everybody gets a trophy, which is it's really turned some horrible, horrible results with the children who started out that way. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of entitled young adults out there because of that reality. And I'm doing my best to raise my kids, especially in a place like Boca Raton, with all the things that they see around them. It's even more difficult. I have to be even more diligent that they understand that what they see here in Boca is not the normal reality, and the things that they see that I have or that I'm doing is not going to be their future unless they work their ass off to get it.
Right. So you obviously had, like me, you had an introduction into drugs as a very young age. Obviously, that's something you're not going to tolerate in your household with your boys. Are there any other non-negotiable rules that you know, I've always believed that you have to pick your fights. Like, if this is really not a big deal, you don't take your kid to the wall for it. But there are certain things that absolutely you got to die on that hill if you have to. Do you have a handful of non-negotiables? I mean, I know drugs has to be one of them, right? You will not allow that to happen.
No. And I think part of it, Carl, my advice to my own sons could be different than somebody else, the listeners for their sons or daughter, because I did have a history of drugs, personal history, not even my family, but I personally, you know, was addicted to heroin, intravenous heroin, intravenous cocaine, you know, poly addiction, and I got out of it, right? But because of that history, there's no way for me not to, you know, raise my children with that in mind. So, like, in terms of what's okay for them to do, they're not allowed and they will not be allowed to do any kind of drugs around me or anything like that ever. Not until they're out of the house and adults. And even then I will discourage it. I mean, if you say to Asher, drugs are, he's going to tell you for losers.
Good.
He'll say it literally. If you just say that, he'll literally, you just say drugs are and he'll say for losers.
Right.
And because we have things like that we say. Singerman's never, and he'll tell you quit. You know, we have a lot of these like that because they're repetitive in his brain over and over. And if you say those first words, he knows the end of the sentence. So drugs are for losers. So I'm not encouraging him experimenting. Asher's basically a little me. The rest of them, Aiden's like a little Darielle, and then Elijah's this mix with the big brain. He's our little genius. But none of them will that be okay. I won't encourage that. And if marijuana is legal in the country, which I think it will be in the near future. I wouldn't be surprised if it's recreationally legal in the next 10 years. You will not see me telling them they can go smoke weed. It's not going to be okay. Not as long as I'm paying for anything. If I'm paying for college, they're not smoking weed and they're not drinking. I'm not, those are 21. I'm not allowing them to drink. It's not okay for me to break the law. So there's no exceptions to breaking the law. I won't say it's okay to break the law a little bit. There's none.
Right.
Zero.
Right. So and that's the problem, because children see through the contradictions of their parents. You know, they, like my dad smoked and told me not to smoke. I ended up smoking in high school. So,
right.
You know, if they don't care about what you tell them, they care about what you exemplify to them. So if you tell your kids, don't ever lie, and then they hear you lying to a coworker that you're sick, not going in today because you're staying home, to do something. That you could tell them don't lie from now till the cows come home. They're going to start lying because you do it.
Yeah. Kids are much, and I mean, a lot of people know this already, but I see it firsthand. They take in and get much more than you think they get. So you see, like, Aiden is five, right? You know, he is, talking. He's a little person, but you wouldn't think he'd understand most of the conversations me and Darielle have. But in reality, he may not tell me I understand it, but later on, the next day, he'll bring up something that I said that he'll have got that I had no idea he understood, that he was just hearing it and not saying, hey, what about that? He literally just internalized it and brings it back up. So, yeah, I think that when people think they're being slick and their kids aren't getting it, that they're getting it a lot more than you realize, maybe even more than they realize. And I think that for me, like I said, obviously everybody's different. But for me, because of my history and my past, I don't believe that I can be lenient with anything where I say one thing and say, listen, don't break the law, but it's okay to drink even though you're not old enough to do it and it's breaking the law. So I, on the flip side, I'm not against drinking. You know, once they're old enough legally to drink, if that changed to 18, I'd be okay with 18.
Right.
I will also, on the flip side though, I will tell the kids what I believe about drinking, and I believe that drinking is the number one way that young men make mistakes.
That's the gateway. Life. You know, everybody's always trying to point at the gate. This drug is the gateway. The gateway is booze. That's the gateway drug. That's it.
If your
child never drinks, they'll never smoke weed. If they never drink, they'll never do acid. That's the gateway drug, but nobody wants to talk about it because that's a big tax you know, we get a lot of tax money for the government out of alcohol.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. If there's statistics on this, like men, domestic abuse, alcohol is involved a crazy amount of times. Rape, alcohol is involved. You know, date rape, alcohol is involved. Physical violence, alcohol is involved. Well, it's like the numbers are crazy high.
Bad decisions in general. I would love somebody to argue with me and say, no, when I'm drunk, I make better decisions than when I'm sober. Nobody says that.
No.
Let's do the, good, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that I totally agree. And I don't want to be hypocritical on the fact that saying like I don't drink, because I do drink, but I'm at least conscious of the fact that, like, hey, this is definitely a way to make a decision that's not – I have – you know, things I do, Carl, with when I drink – because I'm not really going, and we don't go too many places. I will buy something on the internet that later I'm like, I wouldn't have bought that if I wasn't drinking.
Really?
So I have a few drinks. Yeah, that's my bad decision making, because I don't have that many decisions to make when I'm sitting at home by myself at night if everybody's in bed. But I'll buy some tennis shoes that I'll be like, why did I buy that? And like, I didn't really want those. You know?
That's funny.
But
drunk shopping, yeah. Not a good thing. Drunk shopping on the internet.
A little bit, yeah.
So oh, wrong one. Sorry. That's later. What are the most important qualities that young boys develop when they're young that will carry through to when they become older?
One of the number one things, I think we said it, is Singerman's don't quit.
Okay.
Do not quit. It's okay to make a decision to stop. Like, for example, if Asher, so he's playing baseball and he loves it right now. If he told me, I don't want to play baseball anymore. I'd rather do something else. I'm not having fun. I would take that as serious consideration. I don't know if I would let him quit or not. But if it was a decision to stop, for example, we're throwing a football and it hit his finger. You know, what is it called? Like, jammed his finger.
Right.
Right.
That hurts.
And he started crying. And he goes, I don't want to do this anymore. And I was like, nope. Now we're definitely keep doing it. And I was like, there's no way you're quitting because you got hurt. No way. So we played a little while longer, and I said, are you done playing now? Because after he stopped crying, he's back to normal. He's like, yeah, let's do something else. I'm like, okay, no problem.
Right.
But I'm not going to let him just quit. So quitting, the ability, knowing that you have the option to quit and feeling like at any moment you can quit and just go do something else or whatever, that ability that in their mind, thinking that it's always an option, means that you always have the option and that you know, anytime anything is hard, they can just stop. And so life is hard. There's lots and lots of uncomfortable parts of life. And if you want to be a success, you have to be willing to eat more shit or go through more shit than most people. And the higher level of success, the more sacrifice it takes generally. And so I want my kids to be much more successful than me. So that means they need to have the propensity for pain and suffering, because that's what's going to take to get to that level. They're going to have to go through some shit. And so the number one thing I reinforce to them the most is that you never, ever, ever quit. It cannot be an option for you to quit something just because it sucks.
Yeah, I think the magic word there is met with adversity. So you can decide to quit something because you have no interest in it any longer, or you've achieved a certain level. But if you want to do something and you're doing it and you're met with some small adversity and you say, I want to quit, I think adversity is the magic ingredient there. Like, okay, I hurt my finger. I want to quit. No, you don't want to quit. You want the pain to go away. You want to keep playing. So let's just keep going. I think that's brilliant. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
And I think, Carl, one thing, Carl, I will say just to end this is that the one big thing is you don't want to keep bashing your head up against the wall either. So I wouldn't tell, like, if Asher says, I want to play pro basketball, and it's just not in the cards, you don't want to tell him never, ever quit trying to play pro basketball. At some point, they need to pivot and say, well, that's not going to happen. Like, for me, I love bodybuilding, and bodybuilding is the only thing I could ever think of loving. It's the only thing in my life that I consistently love. But at some point, I had to say to myself, I am not going to be Mr. Olympia. I'm not going to be the next Dorian Yates or Lee Haney. So how can I do something in bodybuilding that – is in bodybuilding, but making money that isn't an actual bodybuilder. And that's how we got to know each other to start off with. So,
yeah, you're the only person, you know, so the show turns 15 years old the third week of November. And I actually, Anthony Roberts has agreed to come on. He was the first guest I ever did a whole 1 hour with. And
he's right over there.
Oh, I know.
He's right over there.
We were messaging. Yeah. Hey, Anthony. And the other person I'm trying to get on is Mario DiPasquale, because he was my very first interview I ever did.
Wow.
But you're the only person that ever interviewed me on Superhuman Radio. So you hold a very...
What show, Carl, what show number was that? That was like
I'll find
100
it.
Or so.
I'll find it. Yeah, I have to find it. It's actually on DVDs because I burnt them onto DVDs to store them. So I have to find those old shows. But I do have to get
I
that.
I feel like I want to say it was in the low hundreds because it was in 2007 or 2008.
It was the beginning of 2008. I had just moved into the apartment. I just came back from Phoenix. I was going through my divorce, and you reached out to me with the email, and that started the whole thing. So it was early 2008, February, March, around there. I'll find it. I'll definitely find it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have lots more questions. Stay tuned. This is another episode of Fathers and Sons. We'll be right back.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again. Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest, so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Guys, you've heard about this revolutionary acoustic wave technology that improves your sexual performance. It's been used in Europe for 20 years and has a 90% success rate of reversing symptoms of ED. Even if you're not suffering from ED, it can take you back to peak sexual performance of your younger days. The Phoenix uses powerful sound waves to clear plaque blockage and substantially increase blood flow. It's easy to use, has no side effects, and can be done in the privacy of your own home. Doctors have been charging thousands of dollars for these treatments. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Phoenix and use the code SHR for a special superhuman deal. Regain your sexual prowess today. If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all seven forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Aaron Singerman. This is another episode of Fathers and Sons. Negotiating parenting today is very, very difficult. You have to have strong opinions, and you have to have strong convictions to raise good children today, because if you listen to the masses, your kids will be confused throughout their life. Do you ever talk to the boys about aggression? I think Asher's doing some form of martial arts right now, correct?
They all do. They all do. Aiden and Asher do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and Elijah's doing karate. They've all been in physical stuff forever. And the good thing about having a bunch of brothers is they're constantly fighting each other and battling, and you know, it's like a constant WWE match at my house. And I think that that physicality is actually very important for boys. And I'm a big proponent of letting them fight it out. And I mean, they don't really fight. They're not actually beating the shit out of each other, right. but they're wrestling, and sometimes people get hurt, and that's okay too. They're supposed to test limits and test boundaries, and they're supposed to get hurt. We don't want them to get hurt permanently, but they do. And so in terms of aggression, you know, look, I don't want my guys to be passive, and I don't want them to take shit from anybody, you know. On the flip side, we absolutely do not tolerate bullies. So they're not that would be the number one way for Dariel to you know, give him a smack is to right. ever to bully anyone, even each other. Right. It's a little more acceptable for them bullying each other to some degree, but as long as they're all laughing and nobody is crying and saying stop, that's the one big rule, is if one of them says stop to the other one, that's it. They got to stop. You right. can't just keep going. I do talk to them about not, you know, not getting bullied and not allowing anybody to make you feel less than you are. And, you know, we really reinforce with the guys how special they are, you know, how handsome they are, how smart they are. And, you know, I think that they all have this incredible self-confidence that it's almost like otherworldly self-confidence. I mean, Aiden and Asher will get up in front of a group of adults and sing on the spot or dance, or, you know, they have no fear of, you know, Aiden so much so that it almost is concerning, where he has no fear to walk up to an adult and say, hi, my name's Aiden. What's your name? What do you do? You know, where it's like, okay, Aiden, like, it's good to be friendly, but you don't just walk up to people and start talking to them. They have incredible self-confidence. And so I think a lot of that is from reinforcing over and over. Some of it's probably genetic. And then some of it, I think, is from being reinforced over and over again, that if somebody doesn't like you or if somebody's not nice to you, it's something that's wrong with them. It has nothing to do with you. I say that all the time, and I feel like they believe it. Not just I say it. They believe if somebody's not nice or mean to them or doesn't want to be their friend, that's good, because something's probably wrong with them. You don't want to be their friend anyway.
And that, you know, that's a valuable lesson, because all of us through life have periods of time where people who don't treat us nice and appear not to like us, we tend to want to win them over. And we sure. waste a lot of energy learning that there's nothing worth winning them over for. So your boys already have that, they're going to nip that in the bud. It's not even going to be a style of action. Do you talk to them about when to use aggression? Like, do you ever say, look, you know, don't bully, but if so-and-so pushes you, you know, whack them. You ever talk?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Yes. They haven't gotten into many situations like that. But I definitely would not allow them to be pushed and not reciprocate. You know what I mean? I never want any of them to go and start any fights, because that is bullying in a larger sense. And Dariel is, you know, got bullied as a kid and is very, 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 very sensitive to bullying in general. But if they have, one of the things we'd say is, look, if you see your brother, somebody hurting your brother, you go save them. You know, you go, and if they're hurting your brother, you make sure you hurt the other kid worse. You know, you go take care of the problem. You tell that to Asher for Aiden. I tell it for Aiden to Asher, and everybody protects Elijah because he's the little guy. And the two older ones are huge. They're both 99 percentile height, and Aiden is 99 percentile weight too. So they're going to be big kids. Elijah's the little nugget. You know, he's the smallest on the scale and also actually smallest physically. But we tell them to protect each other. And like I said, they've been very lucky in the sense that so far in life, they haven't been in any where other kids come up and push them or get into any kind of fight. Now, that probably won't last forever, but I would imagine after doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and fighting his brothers for since he was three. So, you know, as long as they keep that up, you know, that sense of physical confidence is important too, because if you are physically confident and know that you can handle yourself, you generally get into less altercations to begin with, because people see that in you. They can see that confidence. You look like a hard target. They're not going up and approaching the big guy who looks like he can beat the shit out of you, you know?
Right. Will you let your boys get involved in physical culture, you know, whether it's weightlifting, powerlifting, bodybuilding? Will you let them find it themselves, or do you think that you'll start bringing them to the gym with you?
Well, we own the gym, obviously, so they go to the gym all the time. I mean, they're in the gym quite a bit, right? So, Carl, you saw the gym, right? No, you never got to see the gym.
No, isn't that the one we trained in? You bought it, the one that was.
Yeah, that's right. For my birthday, you came and you saw the gym.
Yes.
We got to go and show.
Yeah.
So the gym is fantastic. And so they love going to the gym. They're already like interested. They've been seeing me and Gary-L work out since they've been born. And, you know, I'll flex for them, and they know all the compulsory poses. So every one of them can, you know, hit a front double bicep. Elijah likes to show off his calves. He'll do a rear double bicep and stand on his toes so you can see his calves. So they're already in. They already, you know, they've all met everybody, you know. For Asher knows, you know, Kai Green, and he knows Jay, and they all know him. I mean, he was, as a baby, I have pictures of him being held by Sean Roden, Flex, everybody. I mean, Jay, and so they've seen him grow up, you know, through social media and through going to shows. So he's been backstage at Arnold, at the Olympia. He's he's literally grown up in the sport of bodybuilding.
Right.
So absolutely, I want him to lift weights, to get into it, to train. I don't know if I would want him to be a bodybuilder that's actually on stage competing necessarily. If he wanted to do that, I would support him, any of these guys, any of my guys who wanted to do that. But I wouldn't push them to compete or to be a bodybuilder. I certainly would not encourage them to be a professional bodybuilder. As much as I love the sport, it's not something I would say, hey, I want you to. I also wouldn't encourage them to be a professional football player or, you know, quite a few other things that I would. If they wanted to and they made it, I'd be proud of them. I certainly wouldn't be not proud of Asher Singerman, the pro bodybuilder, but I wouldn't push him towards that. And if he said, hey, Dad, what do you think about me being Mr. Olympia one day? I would say probably not the best use of your time. And I would prefer you, you know, not be a pro bodybuilder. Not because I don't love pro bodybuilding. I love it. But there's a lot of risks that are associated with that I don't know if I would want to encourage him to take.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the rewards are limited. You know, there's many pro sports, you know, there's a fraction of 1% that actually can make a living at it, and everybody else just struggles and starves for their chosen sport.
And it's more, it's worse even now than it was, Carl, back in the day we did the show. There now the world of social media and Instagram rewards people with more engagement and more celebrity versus more actual accomplishment on stage, you know?
Paul Donovan happened to make this comment a little earlier, but since you made that comment about back in the day when we did the show, he says, oh, my God, this takes me back to off topic so many years ago. Yeah, that was a unique moment that will never be reproduced because the environment. Today we couldn't do off topic because of the environment. We would be called all sorts of.
Yeah. It would be demonetized. That's for sure.
Do you now? Your boys are kind of young for this question, but do you see yourself giving them latitude to disagree with you about things?
So, as of right now, the answer would be no,
right?
Because it's you know, there's nothing for us to disagree about. It, as they get older, and it's like if we're talking about, you know, bigger beliefs or politics, which is what comes up now, then I would encourage them to have healthy debate, and I would be happy to have conversation with them as long as it was in a respectful manner. If they were disrespectful, I wouldn't be okay with it. Respect is the one thing that I would require. Same thing with employees here. Like I'm okay with them disagreeing. People disagree with me all the time here. You know, we have 150 personalities in here, and quite often my idea isn't the best idea. And that's okay. I'd rather them tell me, hey, I think that's a bad idea. This is what I think. I'd like them to do that. Now, but if they said that's a shitty idea, you don't know what you're talking about, that would be a problem. They would get fired.
Because of the delivery. It's not that they disagree with you. It's their delivery lacks respect.
Yeah. So as long as Ashrae and Elijah were respectful in their disagreement and we could talk about it, then I would be totally okay with it. And I'd almost encourage it. I mean, I wouldn't want them to not feel like they could talk to me about different ideas that may not be the same as mine. And maybe, you know, that's the one thing they say. There's a famous quote that says, you know, that you learn the most from your students when you're like your children. So they say your peers you learn from, or your teachers you learn, your peers you learn, and you learn the most from your students. So for me, my kids are like my students. So I would absolutely encourage healthy, respectful debate. Not now though. At 3 years old, there's no.
Yeah, so no, much, no, no. You know, they're not. They're not. Yeah, they can't make those kind of decisions or choices at this age. So right. when a boy goes through puberty, he has to change the relationship between him and his father. That allows him to start to develop autonomy and feel like a man. And quite often that elicits a level of rebellion. Now, it doesn't have to be full-scale rebellion, run away from home, do drugs, and all that sort of stuff. But sometimes it comes up and often all of a sudden these disagreements happen with dad. And you cast a very big shadow for a variety of reasons. Your demeanor, your success, your physical size. Will you be sensitive to that and allow the boys to break with you without having to try to force them to do things your way? You know what I'm going for here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So I don't know how that'll look. So it's hard for me to say. I know for me, I believe anyway, Darielle and I are so different as parents than I was. My parents were for me that. I just don't know. Like, so for me, you know, like it was more my mom that I'm thinking like with this, but with my dad, you know, I wouldn't want my dad to drop me off at school. I want to like walk, yeah. Like drop me off a ways away and I'll walk there. Or like the movies, when I go to the movies, I would want him to not be waiting outside when I came out and stuff like that. I feel like, and I could be wrong, maybe this is me being hopeful, is that I'm so different than my dad that his friends are going to be like, I want your dad to come around and pick you up. You know, that he'll know that his dad is different than the other dads. And that's what I hope anyway. You know, obviously you can't predict, but I mean, that's if I didn't know any fathers like me growing up, you know, I didn't know the anybody that was like that. So it's hard for me to project.
Yeah.
But if it's so imagining them rebelling and starting fights with me for no reason, I just don't know if that's in the cards, and I could be totally wrong.
And maybe rebel was the wrong word. I think you actually gave better examples, like dad isn't cool. I don't want him picking me up. I want, you know, and it could be just that. It could be that, like where Asher says to you, hey, dad, you mind if I meet you a block away? Don't pick me up in front of the girl's house. Would you be sensitive to that, or would you be insulted by that?
No. So if that is a specific example, I would be okay with that. I would want him to explain why he felt like that, and if he felt like that strongly enough, it's no big deal for me to do that. But I'd want him to be honest with himself on why he felt like that was what he needed to do. Because obviously, for me as a kid, all the kids were getting dropped off by their parents; they are all being picked up by their parents. You know, why did I want my mom or my dad to not be seen? You know what I mean? Like, I would have asked him, like, what do you think about that and tell me why you feel like that. And I would definitely think about his answer, but I wouldn't force it where I'm like, no, you're doing what I'm driving. I don't care how you feel. No, I wouldn't do. I'm not that much of, you know me, Carl, I'm not that much of a hard ass with it, really, with anybody.
You know, the funny thing about you is that you are so even tempered. You know, like I remember lots of different stories come to mind, but the one that comes to mind was the dog park and Rasteem. And you were at the dog park with Rasteem, and this guy like went to hit Rasteem because he was coming by his dog, and you were real casual, yep. And you says he did it a couple times, and you didn't say anything, and then finally he did it again, and you told him, look, if you do that again, I'm gonna F you up, and you had all the resolve, like you were gonna do it, but you gave him forewarning, like if you do that one more time, and you've always been a very even tempered person, which is a really unique quality in this day and age, because so many people act viscerally, and just like alcohol, they make the wrong decisions. You know, I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of acting viscerally from time to time in my life and making the wrong decisions. So, but there,
yeah. Well, Daryl would tell you I'm a robot. I'm part robot. Because you're to ask her, because I don't. It's not that I don't have a lot of emotion, because I think that I have as much or more than most people. I just think that I handle it differently, and I keep a lot of things in, and not in an unhealthy way, in a healthy way where it doesn't help me to let it out. I don't feel like a cathartic release of putting out emotion. I feel like it's more of instability, or it doesn't help me to externalize my emotions. So instead, a lot of times I'll just keep it and think about it, and then before you know it, I'll have taken enough time that I realize that whatever it was didn't even matter in the first place. I just really, Carl, I've always been good at realizing that basically I'm in charge of how I feel, and that I don't allow anybody really to make me feel anything. I choose how I feel. So if you right now said, you know what, fuck you, Aaron, the show's boring, and hung up, you know, I might initially feel mad, but after a moment or two, and I certainly wouldn't express it, a moment or two, I'd realize, you know what, Carl's obviously having a bad day, and it can't have anything to do with me, so I'm just going to move on from it. And I will literally take that, and I'll just go to another place that's a long way away, and quite often, just by the time I do that for a little bit, the emotion's gone altogether. And so Darielle would tell you, because she is an emotional person, you know, that my emotion, my level of emotion is just very, very low. But I don't think that's the case at all. Yeah. I know it's not the case.
Your outward display may be low, but your inward feeling is still there. Before we take the next break, is that something you learned by example? Was your dad like that? Was Jerry really even keeled? Who was that kind of person when you were growing up? Anybody?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my dad definitely wasn't an angry person or an explosive person in any way, but I wouldn't say he was necessarily like me in terms of being even keeled. I don't think so. I don't know. I think that a lot of it is, honestly, I think a lot of the things that I've developed that are part of my personality now are really developed over time and are learned, and that it's just like, you know, telling myself enough times that you reinforce it. Just like when Asher says, Singermans are winners. Singermans never quit. Those things that we go over and over and over again, if you do it enough times yourself, that kind of self-speak becomes reality. You know, you pretend enough, and all of a sudden that is who you are, and that is reality. And I think that's something that's 99 percentile learned, and probably 1 percentile genetics for most of those things. Because, you know, Carl, I'm naturally, you know, just like naturally, a very lazy person. When we did off-topic radio, I had this incredible ability to sell advertising, but I didn't want to get off my ass and call people and do it. And as soon as I got pregnant with Asher, we got pregnant with Asher, it gave me the impetus to start making those calls. And all of a sudden, you know, I was generating $1 million+ a month in advertising revenue, because I was very motivated to bring the money in. Whereas when me and you were doing it, I was like, meh, who cares? I'm doing all right. I'm paying the bills, you know, have some date money. That's all I really need. Yeah. And that's so that really is me. That's me. The old Aaron is the guy who did as little as possible to keep going and not be totally knocked off. You know, I would do the minimum requirement. And now, obviously, I'm the whole flipped the other direction, where, you know, some people would say that I am too driven or too focused on success, or that it's too, that I'm too much, too intense, too driven. So,
that's what you need. That's what you need for this part of the journey. That may change someday. Dave Pulcinella says, bring back pulsing radio. Dave's watching.
That was a great show with Dave too. Yeah. It's funny, Carl, you're going off topic with you led to so many different shows, radio shows. And, you know, I do now on Thursday nights, I do a live show And actually, I have a really cool guest this Thursday. I have Rob O'Neill, who killed Bin Laden, is on this Thursday,
right?
Which I'm excited about. And we've had so many cool people. So I'm still getting to use the lessons that I learned with you back in the day, now on live TV, podcasts, whatever. And it's given me the opportunity to interview a lot of really cool people I wouldn't otherwise get to talk to.
Yeah, I tune in from time to time. I'm a big fan of Roger Stone, cool. And I know you've had him on a couple times already. And so,
he's my friend.
Yeah, I know. How cool is that? I mean, he's your friend. Awesome. How many people can say Roger Stone is their friend? You know what I mean? So,
Some people would say negative things about old Roger. But,
well,
yeah.
They can have their opinions and everybody can coexist. But the interesting thing about all of this is when you look at your journey, and I don't want to switch gears because we're going to come back and talk about the boys one more time. I have one more question for you. But when you look at your journey from where you started, you know, heroin addict, kicking methadone. We started with Off Topic, and then you went to work for Dave Palumbo, and where you are today, and where you're going. It's like I often think about you because, you know, I see you on Facebook, and I think about Off Topic, and I think about where you started and where you are. And it would make a great movie, to be honest with you, an inspiring movie, because so many people feel disenfranchised today and they feel like their lives suck and they can't see how they're ever going to change their lives. And you, I don't ever think you ever really thought about changing your life. It was just like that game of leapfrog we used to play, right? From the you just jumped on a different log. It took you up the road a little bit, and then you jumped on another log. It took you a little further up the road. And it's like you've been riding this wave since I know you. It's really amazing. It really, really is.
Yeah, I like the leapfrog analogy because that does definitely seem how it is. And it's been it has been very interesting. And I definitely the writing a book, a movie as a whole. I don't know about how that would work. It would certainly be interesting. But book is 100% going to happen. I just need to have the next chapter of my journey closed so I can write the book.
Right.
But there's absolutely no doubt, you know, I've talked to people about helping me. I have a few people that offered to publish something. So, you know, I'm also friendly with Chris Ruddy, who owns Newsmax, who's right down the road. And they own a publishing company, Newsmax. And Chris told me as soon as I want to write a book, he's ready to do it. So, I mean, there are definitely a few people that could make that a reality, which would be super cool. And who knows if it's popular, but I agree with you, Carl. This day and age, we need more positive stories of people that really came from the bottom, because the one thing that I hear more than anything else when I tell the story of addiction and people follow the story is that is from parents like somebody like my mom or my even parents my age now practically, where they say, you know, hearing your story gives me hope for my son,
right?
Hope for my daughter, or because there's so many people who have problems with addiction now themselves or their children, where they're like, hearing that you did all this and accomplished so much gives me hope that I can.
Right.
And definitely, it's definitely would be a great thing to write a book that helped people.
If you do a movie, I get to play myself.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
I get to play. And Carl Lenore as himself. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Mind Bullet is a kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamins, Albutamin, Theocrine, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on! Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
Want to improve mental energy and focus? Try the new Superhuman Stack from Pure Nootropics. Stack Dynamins, Albutamin, Theocrine, and Palmitoyl Ethanolamide together and feel the lights go on in your brain. Find your perfect mix of these four. Carl likes one cap of each and two caps of Dynamin. Bam! Lights on! Go to shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack, all one word, today, and get yours for 25% off plus free shipping. That's shrnetwork.biz/superhumanstack.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Aaron has given us a lot of time today. I know he's probably got people waiting for him to get off of this interview so he can run his business, his empire. Oh, so I'm on Parler, and I think that, didn't you write that you're an entrepreneur building an empire on your Parler?
I always put in my bio on everywhere, and I'm in the empire building business. It's from Breaking Bad, and I always love that line because that's I'm in the supplement business now, but the empire building business is the overarching.
Yeah, thing. I was going to say it's a bigger umbrella. Okay, so here's the last question I'm going to ask you. When you're gone, how do you want your boys to finish this sentence? My dad was.
My dad was. It's a tough question, Carl, because there's a lot I would say.
Well, say it.
My dad was.
Just list all the things.
Yeah, my dad was somebody who loved me, cared about me, did everything that he could do to improve and better my life and my chances while not spoiling me or giving me more than I needed, and created the kind of discipline that's required to excel at a life that's not easy, you know? And I would hope that they remember me fondly and that, you know, they know how much that I love them. You know, that's the number one thing.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Look, I know you're busy. I really do know you're busy. I was saying that, but it's true. I know you're running your empire, and there's probably people waiting for you. I want to thank you for making time. I know you are so busy right now that you can't even plan very far in advance. So we had a
thing fast.
Yeah, no. And you have to literally like jump and fly somewhere and all that sort of stuff. So I want to thank you for making time to do the show today.
Of course, Carl. Always for you. Always for you.
You know what's funny? I text you sometimes, and you literally respond immediately. And I know you're hammered. I know you're. I can see your phone. Your phone was lighting up and buzzing and lighting up through the whole interview. It's like every 5 seconds. And I'm thinking to myself, does he respond to everybody like this, or is it because he sees my name come up that he reads it right away? What is it?
It's because of you, Carl. 100%. You're going to get me in trouble by saying that. People are going to get mad. Watch this and get mad at me.
Why don't does he respond to my text messages faster?
Ariel right now is texting me. I can't believe you're writing back.
Yeah. All right, look, man, I love you. Thank you for being on the show today, and hopefully we'll see each other soon, okay?
I hope so. You know, you guys, you and Lisa are invited down to Boca anytime.
We're moving into the new house next week, and then after
Tennessee.
What's that?
Or Tennessee.
Oh, I know. Well, now we're going to plan. We're talking about coming to Florida in December, so we'll probably see you then, because that's what we're going to do.
Didn't you tell me you're living right close to where I'm out in Tennessee?
Well, Louisville is only a few hours away from where your new office is in Tennessee. I mean, literally, I could drive down there on a Monday and come home on a Tuesday, you know? So
that's what we'll do.
No, that's it. All right, look.
All right, cool.
All right, talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, Carl.
All right, so there you go. Great interview. You know what I notice? One of the things that I notice about people who seem to be great fathers is that they have very definite opinions of what parenting is supposed to be. They have a plan. I didn't have that plan. I think my kids turned out really good anyway, but I didn't have that plan. But that seems to be a common thread in people who seem to do it right. I'm going to take my last commercial break. Stay with me. We'll be right back with more.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender, with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 25% off all beef and free shipping on orders of $100 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Proper hydration can lead to improved endurance, performance, and recovery. When we sweat, we lose valuable electrolytes that must be replaced. That's why Element created a zero-sugar, science-backed ratio of electrolytes that you can add to your water. It comes in three flavors. Sample them all risk-free with the Element Variety Pack. Carl's favorite is raspberry. Free shipping on all U.S. orders. Go to shrnetwork.biz/LMNT and get yours today.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
If there is one mineral you should be worried about not getting enough of, it's magnesium. Magnesium is the body's master mineral, powering over 300 critical reactions, including detoxification, fat metabolism, energy, and even digestion is influenced by the presence of magnesium. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a new magnesium product I've been taking now called Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the ultimate magnesium supplement, easily the best I've ever seen or experienced. With all 7 forms of magnesium, I was able to arrange an amazing deal for my audience, and I guarantee it's the best deal available on this product. Seriously, with volume discounts combined with our custom 10% coupon code SHR10, you can save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough. And I promise that this deal is only available on this specific website, magbreakthrough.com/SHR. You won't find that deal on Amazon or even on the company's own website. Go to magbreakthrough.com/SHR and use code SHR10 to save up to 40% off select packages of Magnesium Breakthrough.
Mind Bullet is a Kratom product derived from the coffee family to boost energy and creative juices. Mind Bullet comes in both pill and liquid form for the ultimate pre-workout supplement. When needing a little pick-me-up or to get through the morning fog, Mind Bullet will set your productive course fast. Go to shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet, all one word, today, and save 20%. No subscription required. That's shrnetwork.biz/mindbullet. Get yours today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
To those of you who stuck around, thank you. Coach Rob Regish's wife, Jennifer, is having surgery today. That's why we didn't have the Blueprint Power Hour. And it gave me an opportunity to interview Aaron because Aaron couldn't. He originally had set up an interview for last week, but then he had to travel. And so he said, well, if you text me the day before, I can tell you for sure if I can do the show. And so when Coach Rob said he couldn't do the show today, we reached out to Aaron, and he, like a true champion, he jumped right in. You know, it is interesting. I've interviewed Ben Greenfield, Mark Bell, Chris Duffin, and now Aaron Singerman. And we have more people that we're going to move forward with this with season two starting next year. If you know anybody who you think needs to be interviewed because they are just great dads and they're raising boys, and that doesn't have to be all boys. It could have 2 boys and a girl. It doesn't matter. This is the end of the show. Or my throat starts to give out. I'd like to interview them. So you can send your suggestions to onair@superhumanradio.net. And we'll reach out to them and see if they're interested and see if we can get them on the show. But definitely, the one salient characteristic of all fathers who seem to be great fathers is they have strong opinions about what it is to be a good parent. And more importantly, they have courage to raise their children the way they think they should raise them and not the way some book or some TV show or some group of friends thinks. When we look at young adults today who were the children of the everybody gets a trophy period of life. When we look at young adults today who are part of this movement to, you know, don't ever spank your child. And I don't mean beat them. I mean give them a slap on the ass. Don't do that. That just destroys their self-esteem. If anything has been shown is raising children without boundaries, raising children without respect. And what I mean by that is I know people whose children spit in their faces and they talk, now don't do that. Don't do that. Mommy doesn't like that. Sometimes you got to smack the kid in the ass or on the hand. I think what Aaron said was great because the anticipation of what was to come was probably worse than the actual slap on the hand. But when you look at these children who were raised with no respect, with no boundaries, with no discipline, thinking that they were perfect for doing nothing. This is what breeds entitlement, and this is what breeds the lack of a successful life. And we see it a lot. And if we could say anything about my generation that raised these children, sadly, we can see that a lot of these kids have very little motivation for life and think that they are owed everything. And you add social media into the mix, it's not a good thing. So if you're a young person planning on having children, or if you've got young children already, listen to some of my guests and what they talk about and look at their children, how well-behaved and wonderful little human beings they are. And ask yourself, do I want a kid that's going to scream at me and spit at me and target where somebody thinks I'm stealing someone else's child? Or do I want a child that when I ask them to do something, they do it? And it may be painful to your opinion of what a parent should be to get that results, but you have a choice whether to do it or not. Because The children we raise today is the population tomorrow. And we see what's happening with the young people today and what they're fighting for, what they think they're fighting for, and what they're not willing to do. And they all want to stay home, and nobody wants to work, and everybody just wants to be a famous Instagram model. I mean, it's really a sad, sad statement where we are today. And unfortunately, that what we are seeing manifested today started 25 years ago, raising those children. So listen to these episodes, learn something. If you take one piece of information and use it, that's it. And you don't have to be as successful as my, you know, I'm looking at successful people because their lives are interesting, and then they have wonderful children, and so they, and you know, they have definite opinions of raising children. They have the courage of their convictions. Those two qualities are why they're successful too. They believed in themselves enough to do what they thought they needed to do. They didn't need anybody else's approval. And they had definite opinions, and they had a plan. And they're raising their children the same way. It's fascinating to me. It really is. It should be fascinating to you too. All right. That's it for today. Please share this show. Share all the shows. Help us build the audience, because the more people that listen, the better the outcome of the human population will be. See you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you.